My co-hosts today are the same co-hosts that we had last week and the week before. We have Antivira Charles of Vera Speaks.
Antivira Speaks. Hi. And, no, it's right. It's Vera Speaks.
VeraSpeaks.com. Is that right?
Yeah.
And I have, you can tell I'm trying to rush the intro so I don't have to talk much. And Wanda Wisdom of Lucky Bitch Radio, if the domain is working yet. Is it working again yet?
Buenos dias!
It is working then.
Huh?
Your domain name.
WandaWisdom.com.
But no more Lucky Bitch Radio or what?
I'm having problems. Still, can we move on? Thank
still,
you.
I heard a little bit of Aunt Carol in there. It sounds like Aunt Carol's been sabotaging.
I have no idea. It's in the jeans, if you know what I mean.
It's in your pants.
It's where your fleshlight is, right?
No, that's at I left it at home today.
Wow.
So here we have a program. We have a lot of things to talk about today. Unfortunately, none of us know what those things are. I'm going to go ahead and let Wanda bring up something to discuss because I'm that kind of a woman.
Well, you know, the other day I was walking down the street and there was, it was a beautiful spring day, you know, because here in Minneapolis it's now springtime and the sun is out and the birds are chirping. And there was a squirrel. Now, you know, I love squirrels. Don't you love squirrels? Doesn't everybody, who doesn't love squirrels?
They're I love squirrels. I love
they're
them.
They're so cute and adorable and you just want to take one home. And there is a squirrel just sitting there in the middle of the sidewalk. And I was like, hello, Mr. Squirrel. I would like to get by you because I need to get to work. And, you know, I'm a busy drag queen. I've got lots of things to do. And do you know that that squirrel would not move out of the way? And I moved to the left and the squirrel moved to the left. And I moved to the right and the squirrel moved to the right. And I was like, what the hell am I supposed to do?
You Uncle Remus? Are you Uncle Remus?
No, but so then this homeless man came along and he said, excuse me, that's my
squirrel,
friend.
That squirrel has my nuts.
Are you making this up?
No, I have no, absolutely not. I am always a genuine storyteller. So the homeless man said, that's my friend Bill. And I said, well,
I
know a guy. I'm a friend of Bill as well. And we carried on a conversation for about a half hour about, you know, boozing and using. And I made a new friend, and all because of that squirrel. That is why, to the people of this world, it is important to honor all of God's creatures. There, I'm done. Discuss.
Well, I don't know what to discuss. I used to have a friend. I used to work with a lady when I worked at this hospital. Her name was Mrs. Fordley, and she used to feed nuts. For years, she fed nuts to the same squirrel, Rocky. And she called it Rocky, but the squirrel died and was reborn many times, but she still called it Rocky. But it's a
Rocky.
Yeah, I mean, that's really a great topic. Thanks.
Anytime.
Interesting. What about you, Vera? What do you think about that topic?
It sounded like Wanda wasn't quite finished yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think
was just going to say that Barack Obama is going to be in Minneapolis tonight, and I think that's appropriate to the story. It's germane to the topic.
I heard, I was at a diner before this phone call.
Is he a friend of Bill, too?
I don't know.
If he were, and we knew, I, for one, would not disclose that information.
Oh, it's
generally
the code.
Generally speaking, it's not
it's
a good
idea. It's the code.
Unless you're Liza Minnelli.
I wouldn't even disclose that if that were personally. But, you know, I was in this diner this morning trying to rid myself of the depression, which still hasn't lifted. And I don't know. And I overheard some women saying that they heard that Hillary was going to back out tonight. You hear that?
Yeah, it wasn't. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Wanda.
Oh, no. I'm just talk. You go right ahead. I'm sorry.
It was an AP report that if Obama gets the delegates that he is suspected to get this evening, that she will indeed concede. As a matter of fact, on The View, they reported it as being a fact and then had to backpedal because it wasn't completely confirmed. I've got the, let me see, AP tally, Obama clinches. Let me see. One moment, please.
On top of things.
Hillary Rodham Clinton will concede Tuesday night that Barack Obama has the delegates to secure the Democratic nomination, campaign officials said, effectively ending her bid to the nation's as to be the nation's first female president. This was the original story, and I think that was from
AP or that was from The View?
That was from, that was from AP. Uh-huh. I only listen to The View. I don't get my news from The View.
I see.
So basically, I think what she's saying, and I can't believe that I'm actually talking politics, but I think that what she's saying is that it looks like that this is going to be the end, but I'm not going to say it's the end until absolutely it's the end. So I don't know.
Right.
Because there have been there's conflicting stories coming out, and they're all coming out of AP, so who the hell knows?
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Then that's it for politics, baby. I'd rather talk about squirrels and friends of Bill.
But when it says officials say, whose officials? Hillary Clinton's officials? Or?
Yeah, well, no. Wait a second. Let me get the story.
I mean, I'm an official lesbian. I mean, you know. Official what?
It just says from Washington, and Associated Press writer Beth Fuhy. F-O-U-H-Y. How do you say that? Isn't that Fuhy? Yeah, Beth Fuhy.
Fuhy on Yui.
So, I mean, there's more to the story. The former First Lady was not ready to formally secede or end her race in a speech Tuesday night in New York City, but if Obama... God, I cannot believe that they put out stories with grammar and spelling errors. But if Obama get... to the magic number. If,
seriously?
God, honest to God.
I think that
well, you know, and a lot of times those stories, when they come out on the wire like that, they're literally rough, and then they'll go back.
Yeah, but who doesn't have one of those automatic spell-checking dealies by
Jesus.
Now? Jesus.
But if Obama get to the magic number of delegates, 2,118, she was prepared to acknowledge that milestone, according to aides who declined to be identified. There we go. The aides who declined to be identified.
Okay. Well, that's, you know, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I find it a little bit sad in a way. I don't know why. I mean, it's still...
That was my sense, too.
Obama camp, but I do find it a bit sad. I don't know.
Yeah, I that's been my feeling, sort of melancholy. I feel bad. And I, you know, whatever.
Right.
That's my erudite response. Whatever.
Erudite. What was that word you used on Cheryl that was so good? The other
her
day.
Priggish proscriptions.
Yes. What does priggish mean?
Priggish means like, you know, holier than thou, I believe.
I'm so jealous of your vocab. I'll never have a vocabulary like that. I think it's because I can't read.
Lots of hours alone in the toilet reading the dictionary.
Really?
When I was a child, yes.
Interesting. I just chat. Were you constipated?
I would just try to multitask. I still, don't you spend like hours in the toilet?
Hours? Well, mine comes out pretty quickly. I mean, I like to enjoy it. But, you know, now my toilet doesn't flush, so I have to use a bucket to flush it. So I don't really look forward to it as much as I used to.
Where are you? Did we lose Vera, by the way? I haven't heard anything out of her.
No, I'm here.
She's just bored.
Oh, you just... not interested in scat discussion.
I fill up that there's nothing really. I'm at home in Chicago. We don't have plumbing here. It's kind of third world. But I don't want to have the plumber come up because my house is too messy, even though there's a plumber in the building. So I have to wait till my house is clean.
You know, I love your rationale, and only because I completely relate.
Right, because we're both highly functional.
Mm-hmm.
I just made a doctor's appointment for the first time in about 7 years. So that's
Oh, my God. So did I. We're on the same cycle. I just went and got a physical for the first time in like 5 years.
Did you get the fingy or you're too young?
No, I'm still too young, although it is a gay doctor's office, and he asked me if I wanted it just out of courtesy.
I found a good-looking doctor. Can I send you guys, I mean, lesbians or whatever the fuck you call people of uncertain sexual identities, the link?
I'm really sure of mine.
I'm totally shallow and have to pick a doctor based on looks. I'm sending this to you, both of you, right now. There's for Wanda. Here we go. There's a way you can send things to both people at once. I've never been able to get that to work. I didn't retort it.
Oh, he is hot. I wonder if I can find my doctor. Hold on.
And plus, he specializes in obesity, which I thought was good. I thought that'll work for me.
God, he looks like a child.
And?
Nothing. I
you
just
know, my,
feel old.
My mother's cousin, who's also old, says, you know, you're getting old when the cops look young.
Yeah, my mother always says that, too.
Yeah. Well, the cops look real young now.
I know. They look like teenagers.
You know you're a senior citizen when the doctors look young.
Oh, God.
And what comes after that? You know you're dead when you're in a box? I don't know.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. What are you doing, Wanda? Are you looking up your doctor?
Yeah, I'm trying to find my doctor here.
You? What about your doctor, Vera?
I don't go to doctors.
Oh, so you're like me up until now, then. Why
I
not?
Am. I have a horrible, horrible phobia of anything medical. So unless it's hanging off by a bloody thread, I'm not going to a doctor.
You know how we like to talk about stereotypes? Yeah. I was going to say, sure. That's kind of like isn't that a typical man stereotype? Like, don't like doctors.
I think I of my father's generation, I think it's very true. I don't know if like you young kids feel that way.
I'm just a procrastinator, and I hate that when you go to a doctor and you're a lesbian, you have to get tested for STDs every 6 months. Mm-hmm. Which I just find that whole process so agonizing, to be perfectly honest. Even though my sexual activity is quite limited in scope and breadth, I just find it so. I don't like it. You know, I don't like it. And I feel like too that, you know, when I'm not going to the doctor like I've been for the last 6 years, generally there's nothing wrong with me. But when I go to the doctor every 6 months, he may say, oh, there's something wrong with you here. I see a mole. Oh, you should get that removed. And then you end up going to the fucking dermatologist. Meanwhile, there was nothing wrong with you before you started going to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where I'm coming from. But at the same time,
it's like when you take your car.
Right. But see, after I turned 59, I realized, you know, I have to, mine's much better looking. I have to.
He is.
I have to do this because I've passed the being a woman of a certain age, and now I'm of a definite age. And, you know, there's certain tests you have to have done, or you end up with, you know, you can end up with cancer being diagnosed too late. And that's what it comes down to.
Speaking of squirrels, I wouldn't fall asleep like on a park bench, because when you get as old as you are and your vagina gets kind of loose, I would imagine squirrels might want to take up refuge in your vagina.
I would have no problem with that. Unless, you know, that at this point in my life, that's fine.
Well, at least you're open to, you know, new things.
Was that a pun?
I have a happy little story here.
Go for it. I'm for anything that'll lift my mood.
Well, what's funny, I just think this is really funny because I am really black today as well. So it's a great conversation.
Sound like it.
What? Was it going to be a race joke? You Skyped, but I'm sure because you're so goddamn
predictable. No, you don't sound black.
Well, you want me to talk like this?
Yes.
I'll talk like this.
Okay.
What I meant to say was my mood is probably very similar to yours today, darling. And so we've got Wanda trying to pull us both out of the raging waters of Downville.
I feel like I need to go to an Al-Anon meeting.
Do you have a...
I have a story.
Do you have... No, I was just going to ask if you have a reason for this.
No, I don't. My depressions are weird. My depressions are usually for no reason out of nowhere. But, you know, my guess is they've got to be triggered by something that I'm just not realizing.
Yeah, and that's how I feel about it.
Yeah.
For me.
And I think that it just, you know, and I'm a moody bitch anyway and have been my whole life. So this is no news. I mean, I don't know.
It's just, what's your story?
Okay. Thank you, Wanda. You really do need to help both of us because it's going to be eat this hot depression.
No, Sharon, I like it, though.
Sharon Smith waved goodbye and blew kisses Friday to the Molino Park Elementary School students she loved dearly. It was a big day for the fourth grade teacher. Friday was the last day of school, the day she was to retire after 36 years. But just moments after the last students had been dismissed, Mrs. Smith complained of shortness of breath.
Oh, Jesus.
An ambulance was called. A few moments later, Mrs. Smith, 57, died on the way to West Florida Hospital, said her niece, Dorothea Jackson. She had the first heart attack at school, she said. She was revived, and en route had another one, and
en route.
She died. En route to the hospital.
Is that like ennui with the Jesus?
Ennui with the Jesus.
She was bored, so she died.
That was a little uplifting, wasn't it?
Very. What does ennui mean, Wanda? Does it mean bored?
No, ennui, oh God.
It's malaise, ennui.
Malaise, like melancholy. Is that not the right?
Yes, that's what it means.
Well, that's very nice. That makes me feel all gushy inside.
Doesn't it?
What really set off my mood, now granted I've been unstable, was that yesterday, okay, I managed to squeeze out of this mood. It took me hours and a lot of bicycling and this and business. And then I was excited to watch the season finale of The Tudors because Anne Boleyn gets her head chopped off. But the way that they executed that, no pun intended there, was so well done that it was like the most disturbing thing I've seen in a television or movie in a very long time, and it fucked me. I mean, consider I was already fucked. I mean, I was already on the sort of balance beam of depression versus melancholy or ennui, and. So that kind of threw me over the edge a little more.
That surprises me that fiction would drive you there.
It normally doesn't. Normally it's an escape, but it was just... There's this thing about the death penalty really, really bothers me, and it really affects me. Because I find it so fascinating and so obscene at the same time. And even though this is something that went on, you know, 500 some odd years ago, you know, I was researching it before, which is obviously part of the blackness. I spent the week, you know, I'm so excited about this. I was researching, you know, the history of decapitation, the guillotine and all this other stuff and all the people that were murdered through this means and put to death, as they put it. And, you
happy
know, and
subjects.
It's like happy stuff. Right? And of course the question that I have to have a purpose in my research. I couldn't just wander around reading about it. I don't work that way. I had to have a purpose, and my purpose was I want to know how long these heads live after they get chopped off, and if they're aware, you know, this is what I'm finding out. And there's no answer to that question at all. There's just no answer.
Well, the thing you have to realize is the second that the blood pressure goes away, you pass out. Because you'll instantly black out when your blood pressure drops in an extreme manner. And if you're getting your head chopped off, it goes from one something over something to zero over zero. And when that happens, it's got to be instantaneous unconsciousness. So I can't imagine that the head, first of all, I can't imagine we're talking about this, but I can't imagine that the head would live on for any length of time at all.
Well,
I wonder though if you know, brain activity is somehow continues, and you know, like if it there's
does,
some
it
other
does
state
continue
of...
for about 10 seconds, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the person is awake and conscious.
Yeah,
I guess maybe
I guess
you would
state
you would,
of consciousness.
You would just kind of feel lightheaded.
I can't believe I laughed at that. I'm gonna kill myself.
Well, that would go right along with the theme of today's program, for crying out loud.
Anyway, I didn't really mean for that to go into a lot of detail, but that sort of is part of my origin. And yeah. And I've also been talking a lot with my new girlfriend in Ecuador, and it's very sad because, you know, we've been communicating a lot.
The deaf one gave you a dollar.
No, not the deaf one who gave me a dollar. That one I lost contact with. It's hard to talk on the phone. The other one who works in the shrimp factory. And because she's telling me how, like when she's talking on the phone at home, and she lives with her mother, even though she's in her mid-30s, but, you know, this is a third world. And she says she has to lie to her mother and tell her that she's talking to a man because lesbianism is not accepted at all there.
Oh.
You know, and it's very painful for me to hear this and to, you know, because it's, you know, it's terrible because she's
and you question why you're down. This is what tickles me to death. You've studied decapitation all weekend long and you're... And your fucking girlfriend has to lie to her mother in order to even communicate with you. I wonder why you're down. My gosh. And then may I also say, because I listen to your program, that your walk on the beach, or your walk looking with Trotsky the other day to go to the dog beach and all that conversation, you were talking about a particular piece of equipment.
Yeah.
That Gussie got you with in a very sad yet happy circumstance, and
right.
you're talking about not knowing where this depression is coming from, and there's in your hand, literally in your hand, is another trigger.
Well, that's a vagina that's in my hand, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, so I mean, I wonder if we don't. My point probably would be is I wonder if we can see others' circumstances clearer than we can see our own.
Oh, of course, absolutely, like in spades.
But still, that doesn't make it
was
go
that,
away.
Was that racist?
The knowledge of
oh
that.
No, it doesn't take it away. It never takes it. When even knowing what causes something doesn't take it away, but I think it gives you. It might give you ammunition or weaponry to fight it. You know, knowing where it's coming from, as opposed
you know
to being
what
lost.
I always find is like just you know, going through the motions and like keeping your routines. That's why like routines are so important for me, because if I crap out on my routines and then I'm, you know, in some sort of death spiral with depression, because I completely understand that place. The more I stick to my routines and the more I like surround myself with things that I really don't want to, meaning other people, because when I'm in that mood, I don't really want to communicate.
Well, you're right, and that's the other part of that's another part of my complex problems is that my routine, I don't really have any.
Yeah.
I mean, I do in the evening. You know, my evenings are scheduled during the week pretty much, and I've been, you know, that's one thing I did yesterday is I made a schedule, you know, and I kind of stuck to it, even though it was dumb things, walk, dog, do show, you know, things like this. But at least I stuck to it. So I guess that's good. But
are you going to the gym still?
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, that helps. But that also, like, okay, so that's the other weird thing is that I go to the gym and I feel better, but it also makes me really fucking tired. And I
well,
walk
I find
like
too
a
that it brings out all the emotions in the extreme. So, like, if I'm angry, it'll make me really angry.
Is that
and
right?
I don't find that I'm angry. Like, it doesn't manifest itself, you know, necessarily. But it just, I get really intense when I work out. And usually by the end, you know, you have that endorphin release.
Do you play that song Maniac from Footloose?
Maniac. But
yeah,
do you find like the thought that knowing that it's going to pass sort, because as I get older, that helps me more than anything, because there have been so many times where I'm like, are you serious? I got to put up with this shit again. But knowing that it's usually, you know, a few days or
this
maybe
too
a week.
Shall pass gas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that helps. But I'm also, you know, I don't know. The thing is, I get stuck on little things like this fucking ugly pageant that's coming up in 2 weeks. I hate that shit.
Tell us about that, Madge.
I can't. It involves a lot of confusing hat wearing. Yeah. I'm involved with a beauty pageant which involves about 4 costumes, a bunch of wigs, and a bunch of queens that take themselves far too seriously.
Another happy circumstance.
And it's a fundraiser, yeah. I mean, it should be, and it isn't a big deal, but I make it that, you know.
I always find that I make things a big deal, and then, like, when it happens, I'm like, why did I make this a big deal?
Yeah. Yeah,
I get that. I do that, too. I always have great dread, especially, like, auditions or jobs that I know are going to be, if they're video games and there's a lot of screaming and it always hurts and it's a pain in the ass and I'm driving to it and thinking, oh, God, this is going to be miserable, and I get there and it's two lines and I get to go home. You know, that
yeah.
Inevitably happens. But I want to touch on something that you said, Wanda, a minute ago about going through the routine as a means of, you know, of just battling feeling blah. I hear a lot of schools of thought about the concept of acting as if. In other words, acting happy even though you're not. Smiling, laughing, singing, to be just even though it's very difficult and a pain in the ass, especially if you're depressed, to act as if you're happy and everything's okay and sing and, you know, talk to people and go out. Supposedly this changes it literally becomes your reality. When you've just put it on as a piece of clothing, but eventually it becomes the way you do indeed feel. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, in a way, I agree with that because, you know, if you smile, obviously you're going to feel better. But I also think it's, like, from my perspective and where I come from, I have to be better about just being honest about what I'm feeling at the moment. But in terms of, like, when I talk about, for me, acting as if is, like, getting out of my bed in the morning and, like, to most people, this is going to sound so mundane, but, you know, like showering and going to work on time and going to the gym, so that even if I feel like I want to crawl in a hole and, you know, tell the whole world to fuck off,
right,
I still act counter to that because I know that I'll feel better as a result.
Right.
Uh-huh.
No, I agree with that. I think it's just I don't have enough things on my dance card is what it comes down to. You know, I don't have a place where I have to go every day to show up for work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So in Boulder, Colorado, a 20-year-old man was booked into the Boulder County Jail after police said he jumped in front of a woman's car, reached into her window to try to grab her breast, tossed her cell phone across the pavement, and then began strangling her.
My goodness, that's fun.
Mm-hmm. Could we, like, move on to something like, I don't know, happy people jumping up and down topless?
Ahmadinejad says Israel to vanish with or without Iran.
That's okay, happy.
Maybe that wasn't so happy.
And now we will play the sound effects of gunshots.
Now, you know,
I have a question for you. I have a question.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have a house party or just a get together, a little soiree, if you will.
I don't have any friends.
Well, you know, there's a reason. But let's imagine for a moment that. Let's imagine for a moment that you do, and
hateful.
Everybody's sitting around chatting, and somebody unleashes a racist tirade that's not in any way ironic or, you know, satirical, but just completely racist and unabashedly hateful. What do you do as the host or hostess?
I don't know.
I do.
Say, shut up, Cheryl.
True.
You turn around and you say, are you serious? And if that person says yes, then you present the fact that that's completely inappropriate and awful. And you don't want that kind of thing being said in your home.
Mm-hmm.
I have had that happen recently with people. And my approach was generally, I have to force myself to be calm and sort of ask, request them to follow. I try to help them follow their logic through. Like this particular example was about, I was talking with some people who are Jewish baby boomers who used to live in the Bronx, and then they say that they were forced out because the Puerto Ricans came in and they played loud music and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and they didn't have respect for us and so on. And I said, okay, the Puerto Ricans, now, they all played loud music? And he said, well, not all of them. And I said, well, he was beat up in school by these people. I said, well, you know what? I was beat up in school, too. But I was beat up by white people. And some of them were Jewish, some of them were Catholic, some of them were probably even Latino, but I don't have the luxury of being able to just categorize them into one group. So who do I get to blame it on? But anyway, I try to do that when I'm calm, is I try to get them to follow their logic through. Because some people, you just can't call them racist because that's just causes a defense mechanism. But I have often said, you know, that sounds pretty racist.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of like what I said. You know, you have them explain themselves. Mm-hmm. But still, you know, I really don't want to have friends with beliefs like that. I remember when I was little, because I'm half Armenian and I'm half Welsh, and how that ended
right.
up.
Right, like Cher. Yeah, I know I say that every time.
I know. And how that ended up kind of looking, especially when I was young, because I had very, very black, very corkscrew curly hair. Not, you know, corkscrew curls like Shirley Temple. And I looked Jewish. I looked Jewish. And so I mm-hmm. got a lot of the anti-Semite crap when I was a little kid. You know, people in school calling me a Jew and all that stuff. And I was
in
really
Los
hurt.
Angeles?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I never would have thought of that, about that place as, like, anti-Semitic.
Well, it isn't. I think it's any difference at all. You know, if yeah. you looked like a Jew, they called you a Jew. If you looked gay, they called you a fag. If you whatever, you know, it was whatever yeah. whatever ammunition they could use. But my point was, is I came home very really upset one day because someone that I wanted me to be my friend had, you know, attacked me, and had attacked me calling me, you know, you dumb Jew and all that stuff. And I mm-hmm. came home and I railed to my mother and I said, I'm not a Jew and I hate it and I don't. And I went on and on and on. And she very calmly, after listening to me, talked to me and said, honey, do you really want to have a friend who hates somebody just because of their religion? And even though I was a little boy, I got the concept. You know, it's yeah. like the company that you want to keep. And when Wanda was saying, you know, that hypothetical, but I believe it probably may have happened to her, but we could get that story. That hypothetical is that yeah. I wouldn't want to have that person in my home. I wouldn't right. want to be, you know, giving that person food and the love of my home if they felt that way, and especially if they spoke that way.
Right.
So that was kind of my
yeah,
idea.
Yeah, no, and in the you know, in the interest of full disclosure, is that the statement? That actually did happen, and my response was pretty much the same. Like I kind of challenged that person right away, even though like it took all of the air out of the entire room. And I mean, yeah. everybody, you just heard plates drop and gasps. But my result was, I'm not responsible for other people's ridiculousness. I just don't have to have them in my house. So
that's
I don't need
exactly
to,
right.
I now, don't need to understand necessarily where they're coming from or shame them. But I did say, you know, this is not really something I want to hear. And, you know, anyway, I just thought it was interesting.
Is Wanda really Skypey?
Yes. Should I call her back?
Please do, because I'm catching okay. every third word.
All right. Don't stop the tape. One, I'm going to hang up and call you right back.
Okay.
Let's not.
No. I know. Let's just talk, you and I.
That'd be a real
do
riot.
Do you know the
Let's
way
talk about our depression.
San Jose.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to lose the happy one. You there?
What?
We decided we were going to not call you back, and we'll just lose the happy one.
Rude.
Yeah. Who needs
Road?
It's the Depression Cast with Madge and Vera.
Yeah.
Wanda was saying that you didn't want.
Yeah,
just...
I was just saying that. You know, I called him out on it because I just thought it was like in poor taste, and number two, I just won't ever have that person back to my house because.
Can I ask what were they railing against? Was it a race or a
It was two things. There was a Jewish joke, which was just ridiculously not even funny. Yeah. And then there was a Obama joke which used the N-word. And to be honest, I don't even remember what the joke was, but it was funny because he said the N-word and everybody's like, "Excuse me? Did you just say that out of your mouth?" And
I bet you there wasn't anybody black there, was there?
Well, it's Minnesota. I mean, well, I'm a rather diverse gal, but we, you know, it's the Great White North. Okay. Anyway, he's not like he then launched into this almost like Tourette's, where he kept saying the word over and over again, as if like he clearly knew something bad had happened, and then he was trying to make up for it. And he's like, you know, because he's black. And we're all just like, yeah, we got the logic, but we really just don't agree with that. So,
oh yeah.
He was trying
to explain himself. His explanation for using the N-word was that
he's black.
He was black.
Yeah,
and he thought maybe you thought he was white, and you were calling him
like we didn't all understand that. Oh, yeah, well, of
now
course.
I get it.
What was the tone? It was the tone of one of we don't like Obama. Or what?
No, it wasn't. It literally came out of left field. We weren't talking about politics. I think we were talking about probably what we always talk about, food or men. But it wasn't a political discussion at all. It was like completely out of left field.
And so what did you do?
So I just said, excuse me, I don't think that's very appropriate, and I don't think that's something you ought to be saying. And then that's when he started going into the him and a ham and a him and a ham and a ham and a, it's because he's black.
Yeah, okay.
And then he, for the rest of the night, was trying to explain himself, and it was like, look, buddy. And he actually sent a message of apology afterward, and I just sent back, I said, I just don't appreciate that kind of humor, and, have a nice day.
Yeah, but if he apologized,
Well, I mean, clearly he understood that something was wrong, but again,
even an apology, Madge, does not change the character of the individual. You know, he's sorry because he got called on it. Had everybody laughed at the joke and patted him on the back, he wouldn't have any reason in his mind to apologize.
I just hope next time he,
Well, but who knows? Maybe he did. Maybe because one took a little stand, maybe he did learn something. Maybe he did realize it's wrong. Maybe he'd never experienced that before.
It's entirely possible.
He did say that I had a nice home.
For a white person.
Yes.
Yeah. Even though it didn't have a lawn jockey.
I almost spit my tea.
I'm sure there are a few up here. Do you know they have a suburb up here called Coon Rapids?
Oh, dear God. Dear
Seriously.
God.
Seriously.
No.
Just a raccoon.
Yeah.
They have no clue. I know, but coming from the South as I did, the first time somebody said, oh, he lives in Coon Rapids, I said, that's not very nice to say. You shouldn't say things like that.
Right. Rapid coons.
It's because they run fast. I always gauge what comes out of my mouth by the thought that would I say this if there was a Jewish person standing there, a black person standing there, a woman standing there, would I still say what I'm going to say? And 9 times out of 10, it's yes. But there's there's that 1 time out of 10 when you think, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't use this little joke about a black person if a black person was standing there. I used to get a lot of flack for doing the voice,
this voice, and it sounds like a black man and all that.
Mm-hmm. And I found out later that my biggest fans were the black guys, the other black voiceover guys that were listening to me do this. They absolutely loved it. So, in my little whitey mind, I'm thinking that this might be offensive somehow. And really, we've gone so fucking overboard with what... I hate to use the cliche of political correctness, but I don't know what other term to use. That it's gotten absurd and ridiculous, especially coming from where I come from, which is as an actor, you're restricted by your appearance. As a voice actor, there aren't any restrictions. But what has happened is, because of political correctness, you can't do an Asian accent. You can't do a black accent, or an urban accent, or however you want to call that. I don't know, because that gets dicey too. What do you mean black accent? I don't know what. Oh, Christ, with the fucking phone.
I didn't answer it. Relax.
People who are responsible turn their cell phones off when they're about to record a program. Now, so
true.
Anyway,
I don't disagree with that.
Okay. So anyway, what I was going to say is, you know, this political correctness has cut into my wallet, because there's very few ethnicities that they won't hire an ethnicity for. And whilst that is noble to say, let's hire those ethnicities, there aren't a lot of Asian voiceover actors. You know, there's one or two that get all the work. But I can do a great Asian accent, but I don't get the work for
it. Yeah,
but
I mean, like, that just sounds oddly of, and maybe I'm just coming from this from a place of unknowing, but to me that's just like, you know, I'm sorry that you don't have a job sounding like, you know, a racist stereotype. Do you know what I mean?
No, not at all. And when I say Asian accent, I'm not talking about, oh, Ching Chong Chinaman. No, that's not what I'm saying. But if you sound Japanese, you sound like this. It's not rude. It's a imitation of the way they sound. Not, oh, Ching Chong Chinaman. I'm not talking about
that.
Is
there a difference? I'm just playing devil's
advocate
here.
Do you remember there was a controversy when Miss Saigon first came out because Jonathan Pryce played one of the lead characters who was,
right? Yes.
I guess Vietnamese, I don't know. And there was a lot of controversy and a lot of discussion at that point of why. I think that's when the political correctness in this particular respect about actors came out. Like, how can, you know, it's like, that was the first time I'd heard somebody complain of a white person playing an Asian being a problem.
It seems like
that was kind of a turning point with respect to that. Do you think?
No, it's been going on for a long, it's been going on.
But this was at least 20 years ago.
Oh, that long.
That
may have been the beginnings.
Yeah.
But it hit hard in my industry, and that's why I'm very much aware of it. And I, you know, and I want to clear something up, Wanda, because I'm not talking about making fun of someone for the way they sound or doing the typical lazy Mexican accent or a lazy Mexican character. I'm talking about I'll get a script with, you know, four or five different characters, and if I'm a regular in a show, if I'm a regular in a cartoon show, for example, and it's not silly, it's a high school cartoon, and it's a bunch of students, and there's an Asian student and a black student.
Sex education film.
Yeah, right. And so there's different ethnicities. I can't do a slight Asian accent as an Asian character because of political correctness, they are forced to hire an Asian actor.
Well, the weird thing to me is, why does it need to be an Asian in the first place?
Well, that's what I'm wondering, because an Asian person sounds like a white person, sounds like a black person. I mean, if they're all from the United States, if you're talking about, like, I'm somebody from Japan and I want to have, like, a, you know,
right. Well, I'm talking like if it was a foreign exchange student from Japan.
Did you just repeat yourself 10 times, or was that Skype?
I think it was Skype.
That was weird. You stuttered.
I don't know. You know, this may be another one of those fucking slippery slopes that I don't want to get on, because I really am not in the mood for controversy. I understand wanting to give everyone across the board work, but maybe I'm just talking from too personal of a place in the show business industry, in the industry of acting. Acting is acting. You know, I can act like a woman. I can act like a child. I can act like an Asian. I can act like a black man. That's because I'm a talented actor. It has nothing to do with how I feel about those characters, those people. I do my best to reproduce the reality of those things, and that's what I get paid for. And when you start taking away what I can reproduce, what I can do out of my abilities and talents, you cut my work way back. You cut my opportunities way back, and it stinks. It stinks on from the place where I am, from which I am coming. So that's, you know, and that's a very narrow, you know, it's a very narrow lane that I'm walking along, and not a lot of people are walking that lane as well. That's all. I'm all for equal opportunity.
Well, it doesn't affect my life, so to tell you the truth, it's not a big deal for me either way. But I think there's, we have it, racism, and we have reverse racism, and it's very difficult to deal with either of those without becoming the other thing. I mean, it's tricky.
Well, and here's like, I always think people should err on the side of just being open about what they think and what they're thinking about these types of issues, because people can at least hear each other,
like,
and say, "Oh, that's that's what you're saying about race. Okay, well, here's where I'm coming from." Because to me, it's usually, let me share with you how I want you to think that I think I feel about race. Do you know what I mean? Like, in this very, like, I want to appear to not be racist, and so I'm therefore going to construct this rationale or methodology for speaking about race, when it doesn't really, the conversation then doesn't really have much meat or substance, and people can't really begin to tackle the issues that, you know, would then force some understanding or difference of opinion or change of ideas, I guess. Am I making any sense?
I guess.
Probably not.
I don't know. It's just, for me, it's just, you know, I hit a wall with this discussion because, first of all, I make fun of racism a lot, and to the point where sometimes it's racist, I'm sure. But the thing is, it's part of being human, this not being able to deal with this. Maybe it's just a stage where we are. Maybe, you know what, this is interesting. Okay, there's this thing called the Harvard implicit tests. You can take them online, and it actually gives you a series of questions, which, according to these researchers, and you can buy into them or not, but it's been...
Who the fuck is juggling? What is going on with all this juggling noise I'm hearing?
Why are you so tense?
I've gone from...
She's not too tense. She's a wigwam.
My dog is playing with a toy.
Oh, Native American bigotry.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God, girl. Take a
Native American bigotry.
My dog is playing with a toy. Should I place him in the microwave?
Oh,
would that make you happy?
No, I love your dog. Now, see, okay. All you had to do is tell me it's your dog, and that makes me happy. I'm glad. So go ahead with your implicit lesbian test or whatever the fuck it is.
Well, there's this thing called the Harvard implicit test, and they test a bunch of sort of stereotypes. And one of them is racism, and it gives you a test, and it asks you all kinds of questions, and it tricks your brain into answering things, so it's really hard to fool the test, because it's based on how long it takes you to respond to certain questions, and then you'd have to look it up. I mean, I can't explain it, but it's Harvard implicit tests. You can Google it and take them online. But it shows you how racist you are. And I'm like there's like a little racist, a lot racist, not racist, and then the opposite of racist, the racist towards blacks, and racist in favor of blacks, if that makes any sense. Like, if I'm a white, I like black people more than white people. That would mean I'm reverse racist. And it put me in the category of a little racist. And my sister was in the category of, you know, more favoring blacks at the first level. And I thought it was interesting because we both grew up in very similar environments, obviously. But something changed where she became one thing and I became the other. And it's just interesting because, you know, I don't know how much really things like, in other words, sometimes these things we do, I think, are just Band-Aids, you know, these political correctness. Sometimes it's just a Band-Aid. And I would be interested to see, like, if you compare people's political correctness behavior to their, in other words, how they act socially, to their Harvard implicit test results, how that would turn out. I don't know. I certainly wouldn't have thought that I was, I thought I would have been a neutral racist, but I am not.
You know, I really don't get the concept totally of what the term nowadays, not what it originally was, but nowadays the term racist means. Racist in its purest sense was believing that one race was superior to another, usually right, the one that you'd belong to. But now it's considered like the stereotypes of a particular race. If you ascribe to any of those, you're also racist. So,
well, I think at least the way the Harvard implicit test goes, the way it considers racism if you favor one race over the other. Like, if you unfairly biased, if you think that blacks are generally more criminal, if blacks are more criminal minded by nature than whites, that's a racist thing. If you think that blacks can dance better than whites, then that's racist. Things like this is what I think is how they would identify it, as opposed to the whole race as a whole being superior, which may be part of it. I mean, that may be the big picture. I don't know.
I mean, when are these things true and untrue is what I wonder. Is it just what we're presented? Is it just what the media presents? Is it just what, like, for example, and I don't believe myself to be racist. I really don't. Mm-hmm. But who knows? You know, I could be the biggest bigot in the world. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I live in a city where almost all of the crime is committed by black people or Mexican people. And that's the gangs I'm talking about, because the gangs are so huge here that there's a huge, and I just said most of the crimes, and what I should have said was the gang crimes, not most of the crimes across the board, but the mm-hmm. gang crimes are enormous here. And because of that, there is a huge prison population of blacks and Mexicans.
And whites, because there's white gangs too. I mean, here some of the worst gangs are whites. The Pope.
Well, not here though. It's
okay. So what are you? But what's your conclusion there for?
My conclusion is that I don't have a conclusion. My conclusion is when do you take facts and look at them and say? I mean, you take a fact that if you
important to have a conclusion, because otherwise.
All right, my conclusion is this, is that I don't know when a stereotype is a stereotype and when it is an example of truth.
The fact that, you know, there is a giant prison population in this country made up of non-white people tells you a lot more about racism in this country than it does the reality of black or Hispanic people. You know what I mean? So, like, there's nothing that predilects one. If you understand from the very beginning that race is a construct and it's not something legitimate, right. It's not something genetic, and right. then you begin to look at the institutions that organize society and, you right. know, the inherent bias in our system, you begin to understand why it is that these stereotypes exist and how they feed. It just becomes this cycle unto itself. And the reason that there are, just what is in Minnesota, for example, more than, I think it's about half of black children do not graduate high school. I mean, that's 50%. So
why is that?
White.
Because the system is set up inherently against, and has been since the founding of this country, to favor a certain group over another. And institutional racism exists in many different forms in many different ways. And we could have this discussion for hours. But from my perspective, I don't, you know, I just think it's...
Well, I think the important thing what you said is that race is a social construct. I think that's key in this discussion, because unlike the discussion we had very early in this reformation of this pogrom, is that unlike gender, there's no chromosome for race. You know, it truly is a social construct based on our perception and how we generalize.
I want to make it clear that I'm not disagreeing. Uh-huh. I'm not disagreeing or putting up an opposite viewpoint. I'm truly listening, because I'm uh-huh. learning here. I'm learning. Okay. These are questions. I have questions about all of this. I don't have conclusions.
I mean, the only way I can answer your question is you have to break it down and to see what, you know, first of all, why is it even necessary to categorize? And secondly, what is it that you're categorizing, if it's true or not? I mean, you can't say, is a stereotype true, without saying which stereotype you're talking about. So I would imagine that the stereotype is that, I mean, you have to be specific when you say it, or else you can't really process it. Like, is the sort of idea that, you know, maybe the Latinos are and blacks are more predisposed to crime, or is it that they are more predisposed to going in gangs? And, you know, what are you saying? And then once you, like, let's just say, and you didn't say this, but let's just say I'm postulating that, you know, Puerto Ricans or whatever they have there in California, Mexicans, I don't know what,
yeah, Mexicans, whoever you're talking about. Mostly.
Okay, Mexicans are more likely to commit violent crime than white people. Then I would, if that were what you were postulating, I would say, okay, well now, what makes you say that they're committing crimes because they are Mexican? You know,
I see,
and
yeah.
then take that further and then say, well, they're from Mexico. Okay, well, what is it about being from Mexico that would cause them to have a crime? Are you saying there's something genetic? Because if there's not something genetic, then it can't be related to their race. And even if it were, so what, you know, in other words, I would basically be leading the person to conclude that it's a social problem. And a social problem is a totally different thing. And if we deal, and I think the problem in this country a lot of time is we take social problem, instead of dealing with social problems, we turn them into xenophobic racist problems that, you know, that building a fence around this country doesn't help. And there was news this week, which was very disturbing, that at the border where they used to send people home when they would get caught crossing the border, they're now putting them in detention camps in the U.S., all of them. And so that's a...
Yeah, but Jews are still stingy and money grubbing.
Well, where's mine?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
So nobody has anything
to say?
Oh,
I do have one. I do have something else to say. Not about racism, but about a different subject. Okay. As I feared and many of us feared, there is indeed going to be a measure on the ballot to overturn the ruling about gay marriage. And it will be on the November ballot. And it is coalescing and energizing and charging the religious fanatics and every other right-wing wacko to get out there. And did you ever hear the wording that the California Supreme Court, the actual words of the ruling, and how it's so simplistic and so beautiful? It's just one sentence. An individual's sexual orientation, like a person's race or gender, does not constitute a legitimate basis upon which to deny or withhold legal rights. That is so beautiful to me and so simple, and that's what...
So what does the ballot measure say?
The ballot measure is that marriage is going to be in a constitutional amendment that marriage will be recognized as a union between one man and one woman only.
Mm-hmm. And then you... who was it? Some comedian said just... Or maybe it wasn't a comedian, but somebody the other day just said, you know what, if you're gay and lesbian, just say one of... just. Say you're a man. They're not going to check. You know, let's say it's two lesbians. Just say you're a man. One of you should just say you're a man. They're not going to look for a dick. And half the time, you can't tell the difference anyway.
Oh, that was bigoted.
Well, I know that. And then you've got the whole thing in New York. So clear across to the other side of the country, you've got the governor saying that they should recognize marriage is performed in California. So it's almost in a nice way, this wonderful. Well, you can't like when you, okay, Madge, you'll understand this, right? When you have to take a really big shit, okay?
Oh God.
Like totally balls to the wall, hold the commode. You
balls
know,
to the wall?
Duty, well, lips to the wall.
Okay.
You can't put that back in once it comes out. Right? I mean,
sure.
Try as you might.
Not without making a big mess.
Try as you might, you're not getting that back in. And I just think that, you know, they can certainly change the law, but I just think that this cat is out of the bag, and it's only a matter of time.
Okay, my knowledge of history on this issue is weak, and I'm not talking about the gay, but as far as the what did they call it when blacks and whites couldn't marry? There was a word for that.
Miscegenation.
No, blacks and whites.
Yeah, interracial marriage.
Yeah, but okay. But now when that that was put to referendum, and every time it was put to referendum, and this is where my knowledge is weak, I believe that the people voted against it, that said, no, blacks should not marry whites. And it was the legislature and the Supreme Court who saved it. And this is where we have the, this is where the Constitution is supposed to protect from the tyranny of the majority. You can't put something like that on a referendum. It's just because people are always going to vote. I mean, they're going to vote wrongly. They're going to vote in the bigoted way, if history is any sort of indication.
Absolutely.
But somehow with the black and white intermarriages, we passed that hurdle. I'm not sure how.
Time.
But I don't know what the power is of a referendum. I really don't have much knowledge of civics here. But, you know, if there's a referendum, then what? Then it goes, then the legislature has to approve it. And then they are creating a bill that would override what the Supreme Court says. And then it goes to the Supreme Court of the United States to see if that's legal. It's very, very messy. But, yeah, I think it's sometimes you just have to just wipe to continue on with this analogy.
Yeah, I think the referendum process, which is unique to, I mean, California's got its own system, but I think it sort of takes the place of a legislature. But the legislature, well, I don't know if the resolution passes, if that automatically changes the Constitution of California. I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't think referendums ever have that kind of direct power.
You would hope not.
I think they're just sort of, you know, I'm totally ignorant. Maybe somebody's commenting can inform us or enlighten us. But I think it would have to go to the legislature, that it's kind of, doesn't it come out to be sort of a recommendation to the legislature, and then they have to create a law?
Are you talking about the ballot initiative?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, how does that work?
The ballot initiative will be, simplistic. Do you want to change the Constitution to read, marriage is strictly between one man and one woman, yes or no?
Right. Okay, now, if they say yes, and
I understand
that. If they
say yes, it becomes law. Uh-huh. It becomes law. It becomes part of the Constitution.
Are you sure? I mean, there's not a legislative step in between there where the legislature has to do something?
I don't know. I do not know. But I don't
that's
think
what I
so.
Want. That's what I want to know. I understand you don't think so. I just want to know for sure. Because that's the interesting part, because somehow we got through that with the, which is the case, well, whatever, but with the intermarriage with blacks and whites. And I think if we could figure out how that battle was won, maybe it would help us.
Can I tell you that I've been covering a lot of this just because of my interest in biggaynews.com every day. But there was that George Bush, did you see, he came out and said that, while he was aboard Air Force One. Well, you never know. But he came out and said that this is not an issue that the states should decide. And wasn't he just saying this was an issue better left to the states?
Right.
Absolutely.
That's the whole Republican. Absolutely. That's what Republicans believe. States' rights. That's their excuse of
yeah, it's just, it's
illegal.
Like, oh,
and it also
okay.
keeps them free of all federal benefits to gay married people. So if my state, even though my state would say, and this thing doesn't pass, and then it's still marriage is now legal for us, and Gooch and I get married, we still have to. We don't get any federal benefits from it. We get
You're still discriminated against.
Exactly, on the federal level, and that's what the Republicans. Mm-hmm. That's their cop out. You know, we still get discriminated against on the federal level.
Yep.
So yeah, state. Leave it to states. Leave it to states. Leave it to my asshole.
And by the way, this could all be solved, to my understanding.
If we just went straight.
Well, that and, or if you cut off your genitals, but in a less painful way, if the IRS would change its code, we wouldn't have to have, certainly we'd probably have to change the existing Defense of Marriage Act, to my understanding, but it's really the biggest thing that discriminates against people is the tax code, and the tax code is not something that's in the Constitution. So, you know, it's the IRS that says that same-sex couples do not count, period.
Right. And the IRS works for Bush because it's part of the executive branch, right?
Exactly.
So we're fucked.
As far as I know, Bush could sign an order tomorrow saying, you know, the IRS shall
all troubles in the world boil down to the love of Bush. That's the
Okay. I'm the host of this show today, so we're going to end because it's been 63 and a half minutes, and that's way too much.
Then end it, bitch. Jesus Christ.
So thank you for being on the program, Vera, of veraspeaks.com.
My Wanda, pleasure.
Of wandawisdom.com, not luckybitchradio.com.
Arrivederci, mio amici.
And I am Madge Weinstein of yeastradio.com occasionally. And we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
I love you.
Oh, Madge.